Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 4, beginning with the 14th verse. This is our second lesson for today, this first Sunday in Lent. Dear friends of Christ, it's hard in this life, no matter what we are doing, to go undefeated. It's hard to win them all. In the entire history of the NFL, only the 72 Dolphins finished the season undefeated. There's only a handful of championship boxers who won the championship and finished their career undefeated. Floyd Mayweather is one of them. Rocky Marciano is another. No president has ever been elected while winning every single state, all 50 states. No country has ever won every war they've been a part of. Even we've lost a few. That's the thing. We all lose. Each and every day we lose our fight. Even each and every day we lose the battle against the devil. We fall into temptation. Numerous times a day. Now, before we are brought to faith, it was even worse. Before we are brought to faith, since we are conceived and born into sin, we could do nothing but sin. Now that we were made believers, we are able to say no to sin. We are able to resist temptation and to follow God's word, but we often fail to do so. There is that constant fight. There's that constant battle between our sinful nature and the new man who wants to obey God's word. The constant fight between doing what is right or falling into temptation. Paul talks about this fight in Romans 7. I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, nor the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. We constantly lose that battle to the devil. The problem is that our enemy, this devil, is stronger than we are. He's more clever. He's smarter. He's more powerful. We don't stand a chance against him by ourselves. He's impossible for us to defeat day in and day out. And he uses different temptations. He tempts us all with different things, and he tempts us all in different ways. The temptations we face is different for all of us. For some, we face the temptation to care more about our money and our possessions than God. For others, it's the misuse of sex. Many have a problem with drinking too much, or others are addicted to drugs. There are those who love to spread gossip, and others who are constantly upset and angry and yelling at others. Others simply want to be happy, despite what God says in His Word about what makes them happy. Others are tempted to sleep in instead of worship God. Others are tempted to give up God or give up portions of God's Word or to deny portions of God's Word when they are attacked by society or made fun of by friends or family. We can go on and on listing all these different temptations that tempt all of us, but they're all really symptoms of one thing. They're symptoms of selfishness and pride and arrogance that lead us to care more about what we want, to do more about what we want, to show love to ourselves more than what God wants, more than loving God and loving others. We're like Achan in our first lesson for today. That temptation to sin grasps us. We may even try to hide our sin from others and try to hide our sin from God, but God knew what Achan did, and God knows what we do. We know the consequences of sin. We're moved to cower in fear of Him, and we know that whatever punishment we get is a just punishment, just as His just punishment was upon Achan and his family. You see, when we sin, it's not just another mark in the lost column for us. It's a far worse consequence. It's an eternal consequence. Eternal damnation is what we deserve for each and every sin. Now, there are plenty of teams that have won a championship while losing one game. Plenty of presidents who have lost many states but still were elected to a presidency. Many countries who have lost battles but still won a war. But for us and sin, it's different. If we lost once, then we've lost the whole thing. We've lost eternal life, and eternal damnation is what we deserve. As James says, whoever keeps the law yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. We can't defeat the devil. We can't avoid ourselves eternal damnation, and so came Jesus. Today's gospel is all about the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. After he was baptized, the Holy Spirit led Jesus out into the desert, and there he ate nothing for 40 days. Weakened. In his weakest state, you might be able to say. And then Luke records three different situations of which the devil tried to tempt Jesus. Obviously, he was hungry for not eating for 40 days. So the devil's first temptation was, prove that you truly are the Son of God and tell these stones to become bread. That way Jesus can eat. But that would be proving to Satan what both Jesus and Satan already knew. It would be using his divine power for his own selfish reasons. He took Jesus to the top of the temple, and he said, throw yourself down, and the angels will come and save you. But that would be putting the Lord your God to the test, Jesus said. So then he showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world, and said, all power and all these kingdoms, everything on earth, will be given to you if you just bow down and worship me. Now Jesus has all power. He has everything in the world under his feet. But Satan was offering these to Jesus, and Jesus wouldn't have had to suffer and die on the cross. He wouldn't have to take our sins upon himself and be forsaken by his Father. Everything would be his if he just bowed down to Satan. And of course, Jesus refused because he would not worship Satan. Satan then left, defeated. Three times the Lord overcame Satan's temptations. But it wasn't just those temptations that the devil said. Luke says that he left for an opportune time. Throughout his ministry, the devil was tempting Jesus. When you think specifically the Garden of Gethsemane, and when Jesus was suffering and dying, the devil was whispering in his ear, you don't have to go through this. You don't have to suffer this way. You can get out of it, and no one will blame you. We are told during those entire 40 days, the devil was tempting Jesus. And the 30 years before his baptism, the devil was tempting Jesus in the same way he tempts you and I. Satan tried everything in his arsenal, not just three times, but throughout Jesus' life to get him to sin. And yet Jesus didn't. As the writer to the Hebrews says, Jesus has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Tempted in every way, yet was without sin. Not once did Jesus fall to the devil's temptations. Not once did he fail to obey God's commands. Not once did he put his wants and desires ahead of what God wants and desires. The devil tried desperately to get Jesus to sin, because if he did, then Jesus couldn't be our Savior. Now Jesus faced very real temptations. Tempted in every way, just as we are, the writer to the Hebrews says. As far as his human nature goes, that is correct. Very real temptations that Jesus faced. But Jesus isn't just man. He's also God. And Paul wrote to Timothy, if we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. God is faithful to himself. God cannot disown himself. God cannot sin. And that's the paradox that we face for today. Yes, Jesus was very much tempted. A real temptation that we are faced with. But as God, there's no way he ever would have sinned. It's not even a question. There's not even a remote chance that Jesus would have sinned, that Jesus would have fallen to the devil's temptations, because it is impossible for Jesus as God to sin. So we don't have to ask that question. What if Jesus would have fallen to the devil's temptations? What would have happened? It's not even a question, because Jesus never really was tempted in his divine nature. He never would have sinned. The devil never really had a chance of defeating Jesus. The Lord defeats Satan time and time again. It doesn't surprise us that Christ was victorious, because Christ always beats the devil. Christ is undefeated. In the Old Testament, during the Old Testament times, the people would sin and they would bring animals to the priests. The priests would represent the people before God and they would offer up sacrifices for those people, and God would forgive the sins through the shedding of that animal's blood. Jesus is called in the letter to the Hebrews our great high priest. The one who represents us before God. The one who shed his blood on the cross to remove the guilt of all our sins. A lot of times those priests would offer sacrifices without really consoling or comforting those who were caught in sin. Without really giving a care about what sin they committed or what they went through. But Jesus is our great high priest who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like living in this sinful world. He felt the same feelings that we do. He knows what it's like being a human, being tempted by the devil, because he went through the same thing for over 30 years. He's not some aloof God who doesn't know what it's like. He's not as if he doesn't care about us or know our feelings. He knows exactly what we go through. He knows exactly how we feel. And he sympathizes for us. He understands what it's like. And the great thing is that he doesn't just sympathize for us, but his sympathy led him to do something about it. It first led him to give up the glories and riches of heaven, and then it led him to give up his life on the cross, sacrificing himself to remove the guilt of all our sins. But that's not all what Jesus did. Jesus didn't just remove the guilt of all our sins on the cross. God says, "Be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy." To be holy means not only to be without sin, but also to have a perfect life. Jesus took away what we couldn't have, and he gave us what we needed to have. Jesus gave us his life. Now, if Jesus didn't live a perfect life, if he fell to the devil's temptations once, then if he would have given his life, we would still be sinners. And thus we wouldn't be saved. That's why this temptation and Jesus living a perfect life is so important. He gave us his perfect life. His righteousness, his perfection, his holiness. That has been credited to us. He not only took away our sins, but his perfect life is now ours. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In Christ, we are the holy ones of God. When God looks at us, he doesn't see us who fall to the devil's temptations day after day. No, when the Lord looks at us, he sees those whose sins are washed away through the blood of the Son. He sees Christ's perfect life, his robe of righteousness that covers over us. And he declares us not guilty. That message is found only in the Bible. The fact that we are saved by the work of Christ, received through faith in him, apart from anything we have done or can ever do, is found only in the Christian faith. So we are motivated, as Paul says, to hold firmly to the faith that we profess. We know the truth. We have a gracious and forgiving Savior who gave up his life and gave up his perfect life for us. So when people mock us or ridicule us, when we face temptation to deny Christ or deny part of his word, we are motivated to hold firmly to the faith that we profess. We are also motivated to stand firm and not fall into temptation. To stand firm and not fall into sin as the devil wants us to try to do. Because the Lord gives us a way out. He gives us his word. He gives us his gospel to which we can turn whenever we face temptation, no matter what that temptation is. As Paul continued in 1 Corinthians 10, he says, "No temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." Because of what Christ has done, the writer to the Hebrews then draws a conclusion. We can approach God with freedom and confidence. We may be like Achan, fearful of God's just punishment. And if you commit a crime, you don't want to stand before a just judge. But we can approach God with confidence. Because our sin has been removed, a perfect life has been credited to us, and we stand as not guilty before the Lord. The writer to the Hebrews explains it as a throne of grace. God's throne is a throne of forgiveness. A throne of love that we do not deserve. A throne to which he declares us his own dear children. For he gave us his perfect life and overcame the temptation to sin, so that we could live with him in heaven forever. When we face the devil and the temptation to sin, we often lose. It's impossible for us to go undefeated. We stand defeated against the devil. But Jesus, he truly is undefeated against the Lord. Jesus is undefeated against the devil. And at his death and resurrection, he won that ultimate victory over Satan. That victory, as we just sang in A Mighty Fortress, was given to us. And so we can also say with the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, "Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.